We're going to attempt to consider some aspects of the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. There are no words in any language that can even begin to fully assess or describe the worth of our dear Savior. However, as we glean from God's word and consider him, pondering, meditating, may the Holy Spirit of God be free to speak to us, to integrate into our lives the treasured person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just before we have our official reading, there's a few verses I'd just like to bring before you. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3, "For the name of Yahweh, of the Lord, will I proclaim. Ascribe greatness unto our God." Job 36, verse 3, "I will fetch my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my Creator." Psalm 68:34, "Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds." Each of these verses, the writer is ascribing something to God. They've determined with their mind, from their heart, a virtue, a worth of Almighty God. The first one, ascribe greatness unto our God. Ascribe righteousness to my Creator. Ascribe ye strength unto God. To ascribe, it's to give, to take particular note of. But it's with purpose, it's with determination. And so as we ponder the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ, may we thank God that he's given us a capacity to take in and understand in measure the glories of his Son. Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2, "Give or ascribe unto Yahweh, unto the Lord, ye sons of the mighty ones, ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength." Give, ascribe unto Yahweh, the Lord, the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. So in these verses, I hope we see the grand privilege of what it is to be able to comprehend in whatever measure the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatness of our God. If we have not been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, we're blind to these things. We have no idea. They're just words or lofty ideas or thoughts. So it's a grand privilege, but also it's a responsibility to bow low before our God and to seek to honor Him with our thoughts, with our words, with our deeds. If we could turn, please, to Revelation, chapter 4. This is prophetic scripture that we're reading here, as we understand it. We'll just be looking at portions of a number of verses. We're just reading through. But we find that they are ascribing, they're giving glory to God. And that will become very clear. We're going to be reading of four living creatures and then 24 elders, and then of angels, something more familiar to us. And then we're going to be reading of every creature. But as we progress, I think you'll note that there's a building, an adding to the end is a crescendo of this glorious symphony here, that these living creatures, elders, angels, all believed to be cherubim and seraphim and angels, or angels of different ranks or responsibilities before God. So let's indulge here and see what will take place in a coming day. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And again, we'll just be reading portions of verses for the sake of time. And the four living creatures had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, no rest day or night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those four living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, so our situation here is at the very throne of God, the Father seated, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ at his right hand, and these four living creatures, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then down to verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then we'll go over to chapter 5. There is some interluding activities here, which are of great import, but for our topic today, if we can go to chapter 5 and verse 8. Now we find that the four living creatures and the 20 elders combining here. And they fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, full of fragrance, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So this song is specifically to the Lamb, to the Lord Jesus. And then if we can go on down to verse 12. Verse 11, we find that the voice of many angels is being heard. And the four living creatures. And the elders. All together. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, 100 million. And thousands of thousands and millions more. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, this is the crescendo, and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. What a scene that will be. I don't venture to add any words to it. Let's just take to heart the Word of God as He enables. Okay, so the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The holiness of God is the first matter that came to mind. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. The Hebrew word for holy, it's a very simple word. It means other. It's not what's common or typical. It's not what's the usual, but it's other. It's set apart from the common, the typical. It's other. It's set apart. And it's set apart for a particular purpose. And everywhere in Scripture, it's a God-given purpose. It's interesting, the something I came across was that the original Hebrew word for holy was a compound word, and it means to follow the thresh. If we think of thresh as beating out the wheat, separating the chaff, the stalk, from the grain, the pure grain. But it's that which follows the early Hebrew word for holy. It's that which follows the thresh, or the threshing. So there has to be a removal of the of the dross for the grain to be available to ingest, to make use of it. And what application there is there for us? The dross, so long as we draw breath on earth, or the dross, or the chaff, may God be pleased to remove it more and more and more. How essential for mankind, every one of us, the dross to be removed, the chaff to be removed, blown away, burned, whatever. But pondering the Lord Jesus, what purity of perfection, what perfection of purity, just holy throughout. Okay, we have different scriptural examples of what's holy. Israel was to be holy. The church is to be holy. Israel in Old Testament times, or through all eternity actually, was to be holy, set apart for God's special purpose. The church also, the furnishings in the tabernacle were to be holy. Every redeemed child of God, called to be holy. To be holy is, it's deep in meaning. So long as God gives us breath, the searching light of God's holiness calls for worth and honor and worship of the Father and of the Son. The holiness of God, it just commands it. It's so warranted. Talk about worth or warrant. But the holiness of God, it's deep in meaning. It also exposes all sin, calling for justice. There can be no sin in the presence of God. And with exposing sin, there's immediate condemnation and judgment that is due. The holiness of the Lord Jesus, oh, what worth, moving him to honor the Father and to do the Father's will, compelling the Lord Jesus to go to that cross of suffering, of shame, to bleed, and to die for a world of lost and condemned sinners. A little more on that later, Lord willing. Oh, the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ to undertake such a matter. The next item, in our reading, we read, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So in the will of the Lord, we're going to take a look at each of these items, and to ponder, just to seek to consider. Well, what does it mean? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and these other altogether seven matters. The first one is power. Now this is, again, this is worthy is the Lamb. This is specific to the Lord Jesus Christ. So power. Power speaks of his authority as Lord. Lord, Master. All given to the Lord Jesus by the Father. In John 5:21, the Son quickens whom he wills. And that was given to the Lord Jesus by the Father. The very next verse, not only can the Son quicken, can he bring to life, not just physical life, but out of the deadness of spirit that is in every one of us prior to salvation, the Lord Jesus quickens that spirit unto life eternal and to be brought into the family of God, redeemed, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. So the Lord Jesus Christ, worthy is the Lamb, his power, his authority that he has. Power in creation. Psalm 33, he spoke and it was done. Everything perfectly fitted for life here on earth. He spoke and it was done out of nothing. What power? Power in judgment, in Armageddon, Revelation 19. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. In Revelation 14, the Lord Jesus speaks, and the blood, again in Armageddon, the blood flows to the bridle of the horses. What a horrific judgment. What power. And what of the power of his sanctification? Conforming us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, into his image. What of the power of his intercession presently? Seated at the right hand of God. What of the power of his resurrection? Because he rose, and only because he rose, will anyone else rise. And yet every redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, child of God, will rise. Because of the power of his resurrection. And what of the power of the love and devotion? Again, he speaks, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, he speaks from the Song of Solomon. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away with me. Oh, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. The Lord Jesus Christ, his riches, he's the controller, the overseer and possessor of the heavens and the earth, all the universe, all those stars and planets and galaxies, billions and trillions, whatever. The scientists think they know it all, but every few years it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And everything moving exactly in order and hurtling through space besides. Wow. What a God. What a wonderful God. The Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. The Lord Jesus there, holding everything together. By him all things consist. Everything is held together. Every atom. Scientists don't understand why. Every atom just doesn't blow apart. Everything. Down to the atom, down to the proton. I just saw where the proton, they discovered there's like a universe within every proton. It's incredible. So the Lord Jesus, the controller, overseer, possessor of the heavens and the earth. Right from the, he spoke and it was done, put everything into place, and he continues to do so. And then we think of his virtues that so far excel. What came to mind here is the verse in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever of good report. Think on these things. Or we could say, think on him. Because he alone is any one of these, let alone all of them. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Think upon him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom. Wisdom. Let's ponder this for a moment. He that is the way, the truth, and the life. Brother John Hay put it this way. He who is able to apply divine truth to all situations. What wisdom residing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 2, verse 3, in whom, the Lord Jesus, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength. Strength. Psalm 18, verse 1, verse 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Let's take note of each of these verses speak of the strength of God, but what's related with that strength? And here we find it's love. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The next verse, Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. These were read this morning in the earlier meeting, by the way. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. So here we have not only love associated with the strength of God, but we have trust associated with the strength of God, our ability to trust, our ability to love. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. So here we have rejoicing and praising God associated with his strength. Our enabling, the capacity that God has given. To rejoice and praise him, to trust him, to love and be loved. The Apostle Paul wrote, just before that, Hebrews 11:11, through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. So here's another strength from God, is that we can have faith in him. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Okay, this is the Lord speaking to the apostle. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, the apostle went on to write, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory, boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The strength of Christ may rest upon me. In the New Testament, there's different Greek words that are for strength, but primarily, when we find strength in the New Testament, it's to have force, okay? It's not missiles or muscles only, but strength is to have force. But, oh, the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought to life we that were dead in our sins. He brought to life. In his strength, in his force, he gave us capacity for, and as we've seen, for faith, love, trust, rejoicing, praising. As we count our strength as weakness, dependent upon him. He is our resource. And what of strength of will? Oh, the will of the Lord Jesus. Ever to do the will of the Father. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor. With honor, I believe here, we see the honor due unto the Lord Jesus that he ought to be receiving from every living being. The Lord Jesus lives dependent upon the Father. I believe this is the foundation, if you will, or this is the basis for honor. Honor, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor. John 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words which I speak to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who abides in me, he does the works. So here we find that the words, the works of the Lord Jesus, he's Almighty God. He spoke this universe into being. Perhaps at the design of the Father, but yet he puts himself in a position of dependence upon the Father. He'd rise early in the morning, very early, before sunrise, to have time alone with his Father. So the words, the works that the perfect Son, the perfect man, the Son of God, eternal God, totally dependent upon his Father. And I would suggest that why dependence with honor? Because dependence is upon another. This world craves independence. You can do anything you want. You can go anywhere you want. You know, it's sickening. The world craves independence. And meanwhile, more and more marriages are dissolving or divorcing or whatever. More and more children are not following along in the faith as they've been instructed. Independence is a sickening virus, is what comes to mind. A lot worse than any viruses we've ever known of. But deep dependence puts ourselves in subjection to another, the Lord Jesus to his Father. It's perfect. But dependence upon another, it's not the outflow of love. It's not the result of love. I suggest that it's rather the enabling of love. As we make ourselves dependent upon another, totally contrary to what's going on all around us. But the Son made himself dependent upon the Father. And we have the privilege to make ourselves dependent. We men, particularly, dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. God's will be done. Because it's, wives to their husband, wives dependent upon their husbands. It's to provide for a relationship where there's binding, sweetness, strength. So dependence isn't the result of love, but rather I see it as the enabling of love, subjection to one another. according to God's word, as he has put it before us. But it's only truly as we put ourselves in subjection to another, doing their will. You know, and again, think of we men. You know, our first head, our first order of headship is the Lord Jesus Christ, desiring his will, desiring to please him, desiring to know what it is to have faith and to follow him. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. It's only as we put ourselves in dependence upon another, in subjection to another, that we can honor them. Otherwise, we're just playing games. There's even a Bible verse that practically says that. We won't get to it today, but okay. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor. And just one other verse on honor, Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. The idea of every knee bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ is also in Philippians 2:10. It's also in Isaiah 45 and verse 23. Old Testament and New Testament. Whether they choose to honor the Lord Jesus Christ now, or in the past, for those that have already died. Every knee will bow to him. Okay. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. The glory ascribed to the Lord Jesus is perhaps by way of the Father's assessment of him. We read in John 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. The glory of the Son is a gift from the Father. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Excuse me. Glory. Glory is an opinion. It's an estimate. So it's the honor resulting from a good opinion, a rightful opinion. Going back to what we were saying before about ascribing, giving, God, all these different matters here of greatness, righteousness, ascribing them, strength, glory and strength, splendor. Ascribe unto Yahweh the glory of his name. See, it's what we choose. It's what we choose to magnify, glorify. And it's so easy to get hung up on me, me on me. or some achievement, or some athlete, or whatever, team, or anything. It's so easy to give glory to things on the earth. We need to be so guarded. What a privilege to give glory to God. But it's as we choose. The scope of our understanding of what is to be glorified, who is to be glorified, it's our choosing what we glorify. We all are glorifying something. We all have faith in something, someone. That more and more and more it would be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And just briefly, with blessing, again, it's what we perceive. It's what we choose to give respect to Him for. And what we ascribe, what we give back, you might say, to God, in our estimation, in our highest, our holiest estimation. How do we behold Him? And truly, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the great blesser. Oh my, what has He not done? What has He not done in pain, in suffering, in long suffering, patience, endurance. And then there's the judgment of His Father upon Him, for you, for me. He is the great blesser, the restorer and giver of life itself, and life eternal, extending to us the rich and full blessings of worship, as we were this morning, corporately gathered together in the breaking of bread. Highest privilege on earth to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to show forth His death until He comes. But the rich and full blessings of worship, of prayer, access to God, corporately, individually, at homes, in the prayer closet, so to speak, but to approach the throne of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a blessor. What a fellowship. Time that we spend together, time praying for one another, time being strengthened and encouraged, or strengthening and encouraging another. And we've also been, we've been blessed with the exalted position of servants of the Most High. Our time's way spent. Pardon me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh God, our Father, we thank You. We praise Thee, our Father, for these thoughts of Thyself and of Thy Son. Oh God, our Father, help us to rise above the natural, the defiled and to enter more and more into the glorious presence of Almighty God. And help us, O God, our Father, this world seeks to trash and to demean, to defile anything of you, of thee, our God. Help us, O God, our Father. Help us to not get caught into that tsunami, but to rise above the natural, to rise above into the spiritual, to behold thee, our holy God, and the tremendous, tremendous worth of thy Son. We look to thee, our Father, and we give you thanksgiving, we give you praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.